All right. My name is Muthu Bhagavathyanan. I'm a assistant professor of weed science at Texas A&M in College Station. I would like to acknowledge the co-authors. Vijay Singh is a postdoc working on this project. Aman Rana is a previous postdoc, and Dr. Nita Rajan, Tony Filippi, Jeff and Soren and Michael and a few other people as part of the Texas A&M US team. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what we're doing in terms of weed management using UAS as a tool. So I'm a weed scientist and I am not a remote sensing person, so please keep that in mind as I am going through the slides. So this is a overview of the team that we have at Texas A&M. We published a paper in PLOS One 2017. So we have different teams involved in different aspects of the UAVs. As you know, it's not just the field research team, but we also have a flight operations team, data processing team, management, and also the sensors team that integrate the different sensors that we have with our flight operations platform. So it is a big team, and we have in the field we have breeders interested in plant phenotyping. Agronomists, I'm a weed scientist interested in knowing how we're detecting weeds and using it for weed management. We have soil scientists using UAVs for soil sand applications with different objectives. So the flight platforms that we have Anaconda, a Precision Hawk, these are fixed wings, Turbo Ace, Octocopter, and also a tough wing UAV Mapper that more recently in 2016 and 2017 we used predominantly Precision Hawk, fixed wing, as well as the tough wing UAV Mapper. The sensors, the RGB Sony A6000 high resolution camera, we have a MegaSense Tetracam, multi-spectral, a thermal flare camera. Dr. Haley Neely, she has access to this and mostly mounted on a fixed plane, a fixed wing plane, as well as a field spec for high resolution hyperspectral camera that Dr. Nita Rajan has access to. And we did not mount it in a plane, but we've used it for proximal sensing. And the ground control points for radiometric and geometric calibration. We use the mobile TARPs, but also in 2017, we built permanent GCPs that are located throughout our research station, so you don't have to take it off and put it back at each flight. And we also have one of our corn breeders, Dr. Seth Murray. He built a ground phenotyping vehicle that can clear tall crops like corns, and you can just drive it across your fields and mount different sensors for phenotyping within your field. And this is the overview of our research field, Texas A&M research field in College Station. And we have different route packs. So those are divided based on the area. And then this kind of helps coordinate the flight missions and data collection on a regular basis. As a weed scientist, my objectives using UAVs are weed scouting, identification and possibly species differentiation, so we know what we have in our fields. Herbicide efficacy, especially weed control evaluations. When you apply herbicide, what is the level of weed control that you get with these products? And crop injury estimation, the same way, stunting or leaf damages. And ultimately, our goal is to see if we could integrate the field scouting with real-time precision herbicide delivery for site-specific weed management. Let me start off with the importance of field scouting. If you look at this is the USDA NASS data in 2014, areas scouted for weeds in important crops, at least 90% of the fields for these major crops, corn, soybean, rice, peanuts, cotton, potatoes. So the scouting is a pretty routine practice for weed management. This is something that happens in pretty much every single acre, and what people do is they hire crop consultants or other folks that walk inside the field looking for diseases, weeds, and insect problems, and they do it multiple times in a year. And especially, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the rice production systems, at least in the southern U.S. We have quite a bit of rice fields. And walking inside rice fields trying to do the scouting, it's really challenging because some of these soils, it's clay soils, it's really hard to walk. And sometimes even the biggest problem is the snakes, because just think about walking in a field, and if you have to run because the snake is chasing. So it's really, so we think, you know, if you have UAV, so you don't have to worry about the snakes chasing you, and you can fly and take photographs. And yeah, I mean, it could be a significant problem, you know, especially in rice fields when you have the crop canopied and it's a good hideout for snakes. There are some poisonous snakes in Texas. So we started off with this Tetracam. It's a multi-spectral camera. You look at different bands, red, green, blue, and iron, and near-infrared. And basically, we wanted to see, can we distinguish between crops and different weeds? We did that. With a mere RGB, you can do that. Just with the threshold differences, you can easily do for certain crops. Like in this case, we have cotton on the left and water hemp. It is a pigweed species. So we could easily differentiate just based on RGB threshold, cotton versus water hemp, and we apply that for example, this is cotton and grain sorghum. This has relevance in Texas where we have a huge bollworm eradication problem. So especially, you know, if you even like there are rare cotton plants in a cornfield or a grain sorghum field, if you can locate it, that has huge implications for volunteer cotton control, again for weevil eradication. Okay, so again using RGB threshold, this is, you know, just like a regular photograph that we took, and you can assign that and see like the cotton is highlighted with a different color based on the threshold. This is a rice field. What you're seeing, the tall vegetation is weedy rice infesting in this field. Again, using the RGB threshold, we're able to detect the weedy rice in the rice field, you know, very clearly. So that looks promising, but is it really consistent? We are working on it to see, you know, what are the variables that could affect this differentiation. And what we've done over the past 2 years, we planted different crops and weeds in mixtures, some of them in rows or in also high densities, to kind of, you know, learn the basic reflectance properties of these different weed and crop species. So we can, you know, use this as a baseline. And so this is an RGB image taken using we use both fixed wing as well as rotary wing platforms. This is a near infrared image of the same plots. In 2017, we had access to that hyperspectral camera. That's a very expensive unit. But in this one, what we are showing is on the x-axis, we have the wavelengths anywhere from 350 to 2350 nanometers. So the hyperspectral comes in really handy with this whole range of the spectrum, and then reflectance percentage on the y-axis. So this is what you see up to 700 is the pigment area, and then we have some of the water absorption bands here in the valleys, and we have the lignins and so different areas of the spectrum. What do I want to really point out here is, if you look at water hemp here and Palmer amaranth, these two are pigweed species. If you are new to these plants, it's really hard to distinguish between them because they're very similar looking. And with the hyperspectral camera, we're looking at water hemp here. Where is it? So the bottom, yeah. So the bottom, and then Palmer, somewhere over there. So it's a clear differentiation in this range, and we can also do that for other species. That so you can clearly see the promise of this hyperspectral sensors for weed species differentiation. And also in this range, you know, for example, here you can see like very close readings for Johnson grass, and you have it for cotton, whereas in this range from right around like 1600, you can separate between cotton and Johnson grass here. So there is definitely a promise, but again, it takes a lot of effort trying to understand the spectral signatures for different crop and weed species at different growth stages, because it's going to change, right? So the weeds, they change their properties over time as they grow. So basically what we're doing right now is use these tools and develop a database to understand the reflectance signatures for all these different weeds and crops. And this is a very simple, moving on to the assessment of weed infestation in the fields. It's a very simple an experiment looking at different weed control practices. You can see the gaps are probably like a good weed control treatments where you don't have a lot of weeds, and then the green, if you see like a dark green there, that means there's a lot of weed in these plots. And what you did was you just look at, you know, you count the green pixels. The more green pixels means you have more weeds, whereas if you have open areas with a lot of soil pixels, that means fewer weeds. And you can do a correlation between a visual estimates of weed control. So you just go and do a rating of, okay, this is what percentage of weeds in this plot, and then plot it against the green vegetation pixels. We did a pretty good correlation. And one thing that we really like about it is it's very consistent. If you're doing a manual rating, it always changes over time, because, and if you send another person, their rating completely changes. So this can be a very simple and neat tool for, you know, weed control assessments. One of the challenges, though, is especially for a weed scientist, you want to get as high resolution as possible, right? Because the weeds are small, especially at early stages. So here is the effect of altitude, flight altitude, on the number of green pixels that you can detect, 30 meters all the way to 120 meters. So when you're flying at 120 meters, the number of green pixels is, you know, only 200, almost like very few, if anything. Whereas if you fly low, you get like pretty good green pixels. So that is, to in my opinion, that is for weed management applications, trying to get a high resolution images. So to be able to fly low, that's going to be important. It's not like for other like NDVI type measurements where you can fly at a high altitude, cover a lot of area. 2 minutes. Okay. Yeah. So that's something we are working on and try to see how we can get high resolution imagery so that you can improve the efficiency of data collection. And we also are looking at species identification and differentiation. We planted different crops. You can see corn, soybean, cotton, grain, sorghum, and then let the natural weed population to come up and see again, using different tools and indices, can we tell the differences. In this case, soybean, we have what you're seeing on top of that in some treatments is morning glories, you know, heavy infestation. And you can, it's very simple, you know, you can extract the pixels that are corresponding to the morning glory weed infestation, and then assign a infestation rating that will provide more consistent assessment. So this is, I want to credit Shafian for this, and this is a weed breeding trial. They were evaluating different varieties, and what really allows us to do is quickly estimate the early season vigor of the different varieties. For us, that means a better weed control. Higher tillering and quick early season growth means better weed control. So you can easily evaluate hundreds of varieties for weed suppression abilities in those breeding plots. And this is another trial where this was where all you're seeing right here are Johnson grass, heavy infestation of Johnson grass in our research trial. And we had an integrated weed management experiment going on here. And we took an aerial image early on, and then took at the end of the season. You can clearly relate the differences across treatment. So that's another application. If you have a, you know, you can use this as a toy, but also to show the treatment differences in more details from an aerial view. And moving forward, we are looking at using spatial analysis. We are collaborating with geospatial scientists to see, this is an example of a wavelet analysis to see if you can show differences across, in this case, four different crops planted in that area. There are also other tools that we can take advantage of. For example, the spectroscopy, well, there's a Raman spectroscopy that we can explore, but this one is called laser-induced breakdown spectroscopy, published in very recently in the Journal of Mission Optics. What it does is, they send a laser beam, it's a femtosecond laser beam, like very short duration, and it ionizes a small portion of the leaf tissue and then measures the elemental concentration, and you can tell the difference. In this case, you can look at certain peaks and tell differences among the species that you're using. Unfortunately, this is not something we'll be able to fit it on a plane, but again, these are tools that we can take. This is a huge machine, by the way. So ideally, you know, for weed sense application of plant species detection and differentiation, we have to use multiple tools. Temperature is another tool that we are yet to explore. Spatial structural patterns, individual plant reflectance, basically that's what we are looking at right now. Also canopy level reflectance, and also knowledge integration. That's going to be very important. For example, certain weeds only appear during certain times. So if you can use a lot of those practical knowledge, you can help improve the robustness of species prediction and assessment. With that, I would like to thank the Texas A&M UAS team and also the seed funds, cropping systems and UAS program from AgriLife Research, and also members of the Weed Science program who helped with this project at different levels. With that, I can take any questions if you still have any time.
Thank you very much.